Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Ron and Don Show on Blog Talk Radio.
Get up again and smile. Get up again and smile.
Good morning and welcome to Our Black News. We are actually broadcasting from our Our Black News page. I found out after doing 3 or 4 days of reading about developers on Facebook, they say if you have a page like this, use it. Don't use it on the page with your real name on it. So I don't have a problem with that at all. And I just want to share this, Jonathan, over to my page with my name on it, which will be an outer page that just tells them to, is this going to work? No, this is not going to work. It tells them to come in and check it out. Check us out right here. I'm going to share here and we're going to share in. This is not doing what I needed to do, but that's okay. I got another plan. But anyway, welcome to the show, Jonathan. While I figure this out and get it over on the other pages so everyone can have access to it, man, there was some shooting at Cup Foods you were talking about this morning. What's going on, Mason, in the morning?
Man, so what it is, Don, while you're getting everything worked out over there, is there were tons of reports of shootings the last couple of days over at the Cup Foods. They did say that one was hit and wounded in critical condition, and I do not know if the person, is alive or not, but this goes into the greater question, without there being police around, and we had, people who are, claiming to be security and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. What is the next step for visual sites and memorials such as George Floyd? Because we can't have people going up there getting killed and shot. And if you see in my background right now, that's some of the area where the shootings were taking place last night, and it's very unfortunate because not only are we trying to fight against police brutality, we're trying to stop this senseless shooting and violence within our own communities, and a lot of it, Don, and I want to be quite frank and honest with you, it has a lot to do with drugs and alcohol being in the vicinity. And not being regulated, and when you know that those type of things are in that environment, it can bring a various host of emotions as well as violence, and so that's what we've been seeing taking place over at Kapoos, and it's just very unfortunate.
Yeah, and it's terrible that this goes on, but it just goes to show you that the the mayor's office, the city council, really have no clue about what they're doing, what they need to do, what should be done in the city of Minneapolis. And it's tacking away at these youth that are out of school right now. Crime is going to increase. There's shootings in as well as South Minneapolis, St. Paul, North Minneapolis. There's just some stuff that's getting out of hand. And so, last night, a guy shot downtown Minneapolis, going to help his sister. So there's a lot of craziness going on right now, and how do you deal with that? How do you stem or curb that crazy violence that's happening in there? Go ahead.
With police leaving as well, the police are they're upset with Rondo, and a lot of us who are uncomfortable, and it's not me per se, but many within the community that are uncomfortable with this change and how things are starting to rapidly change, whether we're talking about criminal justice reform or anything like that. The police saying they don't feel comfortable policing, whether they're afraid, for their life, mm-hmm. or they're afraid for their career. Or
yeah.
I think that now this is going to inevitably bring violence and shootings and with that they're still, and this is another thing, but the next couple weeks, maybe 3 weeks right now. People are going to start getting those letters. They're going to get $600 unless they do another stimulus. The money's going to stop. And so now with this many people being out of work, the unemployment rate's at sky-high levels, what is going to happen in July?
Yeah.
And this violence only going to increase.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And another thing that we need to look at is the this increased uptick in infighting in the Black community.
And it's been around for years.
Yeah.
You know it. And keep on.
Yeah, and you know, there's a lot of money on the table. Okay, a lot of money on the table. Even though the legislature shut down last night without making important decisions, that should send a signal of what's going on with the state legislature, because it's obviously not working for us here in Minnesota. But to make a long story short, or even longer, depends on how you look at it, is that we have a lot of folks in our community that don't necessarily represent myself. I can speak for myself on that. And I don't know who they are. And people that we know are, you know, these new folks are coming in. For example, that guy named Royce White, I think he's doing great work. We should all support him.
Absolutely.
And make sure that his vision through logic is one that succeeds for Black Minnesotans. But I mean, I'm getting feedback from people that are hating on him. I know there was a young girl at one of the gatherings, and I don't even know if it was Mr. White, but some guy at the gathering told this young lady that her lips look beautiful. Her lipstick is beautiful. Why use that mask to cover it up? And so she carried that out as some kind of misogyny, that these guys are hitting on her. And you know what? If you want to be the flavor of the day, go to Baskin-Robbins, really, okay? Because we don't have time for your personal agenda, your snap.
And you hit on a major point, Don. That's a major point. And I, you know what's so crazy is, as you just brought that up, I was talking about that on another show leading up to this one, and I was saying that so many times, and once again, like you said, Royce White, I'm watching this brother. He popped up on the scene, and he's been, you know, he's always been, going against the grain as far as with the NBA and with other stuff. And what happens is, a lot of these groups, like you said, a lot of money's on the table, and a lot of these groups don't like strong, educated Black men, whether it's yourself, me, Royce White, and they're going to do the same tactics, you know, whether it's, and I was talking about this on the other part. I don't know if you got it or not, but you see these groups, they use these type of terms like misogyny, and which it is, and misogyny, it doesn't even got nothing to do with somebody's lipstick. That is just a misogyny. It means you have a disdain or dislike for women. Telling a woman that her, and I don't even, honestly, to be quite honest, Don, I was at the protest.
Yeah.
And you see, no one's saying that type of, if they were, that person should have addressed it there. But if we're letting that distract us,
yes,
or throw us all the way off course, or try to say, Royce didn't say it, I can tell you Royce didn't say it. So whatever the case may be, what that shows us is this, that people who are coming new on the scene that are really seeking change, the old heads, those who have been getting this money through grants and not using it right, the old NAACPs never worked with us and stuff like that, they're going to use their same tactics that is really white supremacy. We know that.
Yeah.
And it's the far left. It's the far left. White supremacy. It's the whole system we got to rebuild. But Don, you know what they're doing. It's like the Me Too movement on steroids, but they trick Black women and they're following them and going against us. And it's the tactic of, you know, it's the tactic. It's the tactic of our governmental schemes against the Black family, the Black man.
Yeah. You're right.
Remember, we were conservative. We were conservative. Martin Luther King and them, they were conservative. We are conservative people. But we've had to accept so much because we want to always be accepted, not respected.
Exactly.
Just like our brother, Mr. Tucker said.
Yeah, exactly. And so when you look at this whole picture, you see what's going on. You see what's happening with, you know, within the internal system. And we want people to know, This is Our Black News. This is this program we do for Black Minnesotans. Okay, we don't do it for any specific group of people. This is not NPR. Of course, we don't have that kind of NPR money. But if we did, we'd be objective and make sure the right information got out. So right now, we're talking to Black Minnesotans. We're not trying to demonize you at all whatsoever. But there are some people, the same old, which you just said, Jonathan, the same old that keep getting funding from the state, still not doing anything, still creating conflict because there needs to be a news camera and a reporter for them to take any action. They're not proactive, they're reactive. So,
reactive.
And they're not really problem solvers. You know, they're not doing things. And people might ask, like I had a young lady on social media and Twitter says, well, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm staying in my lane. You know, that's what I'm doing. I do. Yeah, that's what I'm doing. And so, I mean, I don't go out there and pound the pavement and because, you know, from Malcolm X's doctrine, from what he said, you know, he said before he died, we'll be marching 50 years later because some knuckleheads ain't going to get it. You know, we're not in those rooms where we're signing off on legislation, where we're making sure that there's policy made. You know, even the MDE, I posted that data request from the Minnesota Department of Education, you know, and they have very few people working there that look like us, you know, and 279 white women, basically.
Oh, yeah, that was right. You did do the data request on that.
Yeah, and so how is that functioning for anybody in Minnesota?
It's not.
That's the problem. That's the problem. So until we get to that level of consciousness and wokeness, I guess they call it now, where we go in and we start to decide and write policy, you're going to have those groups of people that want to create chaos, like within this Royce White group. You know,
Don, you hit on so many different. I'm sorry to interrupt, but you just hit so many points. And like you said, Royce, what I'm watching Royce White, I'm actually, with me, it's all about unity in the community for the people by the people. If I see you doing what's right. And I hold people speak to the fire, Don. You know me. I will. I watch this brother Royce White. I listen to him. He is going to make a change, and I'm going to be right with him and alongside of him because I know this, that whether it's feeding the people, whether it's actually ready to help people really want to make systematical change, we have the ideas to do so. And like you said, I don't want to be, I love protesting, marching.
Yeah, you do.
I don't want to do it all the time. I want to make systematic change where we're going to the sixth floor at the Capitol and we're writing legislation. Like I know you're going to, and I know you've been doing a lot of writing, especially on the behalf of the Black community, as far as trying to put legislation together, and it's in the hundreds of millions of dollars. And see, and you know, people, if they just don't see you out there running around like sometimes you see me, I know the people in the background who are trying to write this legislation for us, whether it's reparations or whether it's education reform, criminal justice reform, and these groups that have been around for so long, and they have their get rich schemes, and they want this grant money, and they want to pay 95% of the people in director's fees, and then give 5% back to the community. We're tired of it, and so now when we're coming in, strong Black men, and not necessarily adhering to the Liberal Party all the way their agenda, and we're conservative in this, and they don't, we're throwing them off too.
Yeah.
We're throwing them off. And so now they see us coming together and we're unified and we're not falling for the same tricks. We're not going to fall for those misogyny type things. We're not falling for the, try to disrupt the whole movement because somebody said your lipstick looks like, and I don't even believe it. I honestly, did you get it out? Did you show? But when I was watching the individual, I think I know who said it. I think I do know who said it, but what the crazy thing about it is I told many people prior, and I talk about the Delilah effect, and people in the church call it the spirit of Jezebel. But what it is this is a disarming a procedure that the left has used with black women against black men to undermine them and make them quiet. And mm-hmm. we've already now articulated it. And now we can go out ahead and almost prophesy what's going to happen. And then when we see it happen, we can say, ah, we got that.
Yeah, exactly. And on a day before Father's Day, happy Father's Day, Jonathan. I don't want people to get thank you, sir. I don't want people to get it twisted. The black man is still strong. The black man has always had resources. The black man will help lead us out. I understand it's 2020. You're supposed to hold everybody on this equal scale of justice or whatever. But I'm telling you, you know, to the community, there's this uprising that black men in Minnesota are dysfunctional. And it's mostly coming from some black women, which is unfortunate.
Right, and that's the sad thing about
yeah.
it. And that hurts so bad because we're actually forging, you know, some of us are really, you know, when I was talking to, I'll just tell you, I'm talking to John Thompson. Me and John Thompson, representative that he's running, well, he's running for 67A, mm-hmm. and it looks like, you know, got the DFL endorsement, everybody's going along with him, and I support the brother as well. You know, we don't necessarily give endorsements, but I support him because, you know, he's been on the line.
Yeah, yeah.
But we were talking about the same thing, and what we were saying was, what I was saying to him, and he said it back to me, is the most problems and conflict that he's had in the state of Minnesota with tensions of white supremacy are black women trying to undermine him. I know that he's had guns pulled on him. I know that he's been, you know, people have tried to fight him. And he's like, come on, he's the epitome of like a strong black man. He got the black wife, got a black kid, a strong man. He's doing business owner. He's fighting for justice. And they're attacking him as well.
Yeah.
That shows me that it's not even political.
Yeah.
At this point, yeah, he's a Democrat, okay? He's a liberal.
Oh.
Right. He's liberal.
Yeah.
But no, I think that John, we talked about it, he articulated well. He said these same women that claim to love our kings and you guys were fighting for black men that are getting gunned down. Remember, it's, you know, black women like Breonna Taylor, and we had, you know, we don't really know what happened with Sandra Bland, but they're not getting gunned down the way black men are. It's just whether it's in gang violence or whether it's in police violence or whatever the case may be, they're not the same way. And now what they've used is them against our own community. It's a tactic. It's a tactic of white supremacy. And so now the left has infiltrated it, whether it's Planned Parenthood. People don't like me talking like this. But I know what Margaret Sanger was doing.
Oh, yeah.
Strategically put it in black hair. You know, see, Planned Parenthood's all in white, that unemployment in Minnesota. You know, in all these areas that are in poverty.
You're right. You're right. You're absolutely right.
We're just done with it. And so now, since we're articulating it, we can talk about it. Free. And look, we love the black community. But remember what Malcolm X and them said? Remember, we got to be careful of the wolves that are amongst the sheep because they're dressed up. And a lot of these people that are playing like they're with the Liberal Party, they're really destroying us. And we have to root the weeds out.
Yeah.
And we have to root them out.
You're absolutely right. We have a couple of phone calls. It looks like we have Mr. Tucker and Mr. M. And we'll go with Mr. Tucker here. Good morning, sir. The producer says this is Mr. Larry Tucker, live on
Good
Our
morning.
Black News. Good morning. How
Good
are
morning.
You?
Great, great. John. I don't know where to begin, but let me say this about arresting a police officer and giving him that mild charge, third-degree murder. Mm-hmm. That was given for a particular reason. Third-degree murder charge does not allow you to charge the other three officers, period. Mike knew that. Mike knew that a third-degree murder charge would not allow a charge to be made on the other three officers. There are some caveats that must take place for that allow third-degree murder charge to prevail. If you're in a car and somebody have a gun and you got a passenger in the front seat, you pull a gun out of the glove compartment and it kills the passenger in the front seat. The three individuals riding in the back cannot be charged.
Wow.
Mike knew that. Mike knew that, and there's other attorneys knew that, but they would not make that information available to the community at large.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, so when you charge at a second degree murder, then you can charge the other three officers. That's the name of the game.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
And our phone line. Thank you, Mr. Tucker.
They know that the other three are not going to be charged.
Yeah, that's originally, you know, Ms. Tucker saying that Freeman knew that. And it was a miscarriage of justice in that case. We have another call before we get to Mr. M. Let me just caller 3106. You're live on Our Black News. What's your question or comment? And who's calling?
It's Naima.
Hey, mother-in-law, that wasn't me. How you doing?
Well, I just wanted to, and I know that the seriousness is there. Ain't no diminishing, because I was listening. I'm like, oh man, don't have me come home now. But I just wanted to wish you guys a blessed, happy Father's Day, and if I can juice y'all, keep on doing what you're doing, because it is very, very important. And I would remember when you're talking about rooting out. You know, some of them old sisters, some of them young sisters, Anika, are going to be able to do what is necessary. And I don't know what kind of coalition you're going to be able to form. And I know you can do this, Don, but this is the time. This is definitely the time. If I can do some of the stuff that's been going on here, you know that y'all can do it there. You got the power. I am so happy and proud, young man, that you have stayed where you are as long as you are. And I know that you're going to be successful all the way to where, I don't know, because you're successful now. Scary. Scary successful. But I just wanted to wish you a happy Father's Day and let
you
know that even over here, we got you. I got you, bud.
No, I appreciate it. I appreciate it very much. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Hey, Mr. M, how are you? Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. And, you know, happy Father's Day to you guys. And, you know, Jonathan, I'll tell you, too. Thank you, my man. I'm the Bundini Brown, okay? Rumble, young man, rumble. A couple things I just wanted to say. I went to a Juneteenth at Phelps Park yesterday.
Yeah, how was that?
And so I decided to walk. There was a lot of huge crowds, all kind of people. That's the first time I have ever been to that park in my life where I did not know one person with a gathering that large. Okay? Mm-hmm. I didn't know one person there. Lady comes up to me and grabs me by the arm saying, well, I like old school. I'm like, what in the world? This is supposed to be distancing, you know? And then I tell her, you know, the bottle may be old, but the wine is still good, you know. So then she pulls down her mask, and game over. I don't do bad teeth, okay? I don't do that. But I say all this to say all these people were there speeding up and down the wrong way on Park Avenue. So I know that they're not from here. I mean, who are some of these people? I wanted to ask Jonathan if he knows. I mean, there's a whole park full of people over there. I've lived here my whole life. I didn't know anybody. Now, there was a lot of younger people there, which is a positive thing. But these people speeding up, and no police presence anywhere. I didn't see any car. I didn't see any police presence. With all this crowd and all this people driving wrong way on Park Avenue, I mean, just a police car might have stopped some of that, just sitting there. But, Jonathan, you have any comments to me on that?
So, Jonathan, now, didn't you just mention something about some Juneteenth and some shootings and some other stuff? I know go ahead, let's get into this.
Yeah, no, there is. And what people are saying, I have photographers out there, you know, I keep them pretty anonymous, but there were videographers and stuff like that. They heard multiple shootings going on, and then at Cup Foods, they said that the presence of liquor and all these extracurricular drugs is now an environment conducive for violence. And so now we're at the spot right now where we have to really address everything that's going on for us to really make the systematic change, the systemic change. And how we're going to do that is we got to, like the sister said earlier, we got to root this stuff out of our community. So whether it's shooting in our own communities, we have to address it. We're going to address it. And so the same type of force that we're bringing for George Floyd, and we have to start now harnessing that same emotion against those who are committing crimes within our own community. And that's hard for some to comprehend, but I know that I have to guide that conversation. And I know others as well have, you know, there's people like Mad Dad. But when I come in and I'm working for free and other people are working on grant money, sometimes the urgency is a little different. When I'm doing it for free, my urgency is boom, 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 let's go get the killer right now, yeah. Get these guys up off the street. A lot of these people rather give you some tissue papers while the killer's walking around amongst mm-hmm. them, and they just give you your toilet paper saying, we're going to try to get justice, and the police don't find nothing. The same energy that we got for George Floyd against these officers, these criminals, are the same energy we need to have against these gang members, these people that are killing our own people within our community, and we have to be outraged about it. And we're seeing these shootings happening right at where George Floyd, I think somebody might have died last night. I'm going to check the reports. I will send that to you.
Okay.
And if people are tuning in, please call in and let me know, did the guy die? But this is very unfortunate.
Yeah.
Lives are being lost, so we have to stop it.
Yeah, I agree 100%. We do have some more callers here. Let me get to them. Caller 8685, what's your name and comment or question? Go ahead.
Good evening. Good morning, gentlemen. Happy hey. Father's Day.
Thank you, sir. Same to you.
I don't need no introduction. You know, my voice speaks for itself, you know, loud and clear.
Yeah.
I just wanted to bring up, I'm sick and tired of these toy soldiers popping up. You know, we got to look at Brother Tucker for what he really is. He's felonious. He's fake. He helped destroy the minorities in that stadium ordeal, and they left him out there to dry and made him carry the weight. And he has the mitigated galls to call in this show and act like he's valid in the black community. He's been allowed to himself to be used by his so-called friends down there at City Hall. He just told you every day this week he called, he pays his way to play with the politicians. Okay, I want to ask that brother one question. Since when do you become a domestic surveiller for the white establishment? Then you call on a black show and act like you're legit. Then you turn around and use your granddaughter in your domestic surveillance game and following folks around in your Mercedes with your vanity plate hollering about, so what? So what? And then if you want respect, you got to give some. You can't be out here, brother, disrespecting folks that you really don't know just because you know the powers that are not. And now that you have rubbed elbows with them and you burnt up, you call this show an every Saturday acting like all of a sudden now you legit. You just like the rest of the toy soldiers in the black community. Y'all been getting all this money all these years, and Don, you know it and I know it. When you all started this show, you and Boss Eddie, God bless his soul, I know he's rolling over in his grave because I know he see a lot of y'all ain't getting that kind of money no more. Y'all's game is dried up. Y'all still trying to play monkey for the donkey, and y'all got y'all's hands out. And all four cheeks got dollar signs on them. Guess what? The free ride is over. Jesse Ventura told you that a long time ago. But don't call in this show. If you've been playing the game with the black community, if you've been out here playing a political, domestic gaslighter, don't call this show in and act like you legit, because there's people out here that really want to split your head back to the white meat because of the things that you've done to the black community. So don't pop back up like you pop up pimples and act acting like you're legit and you got the black community's best of interest. I don't like that. Then you got these old other house Negroes calling in the show that can't even tell you their name. That's how coward you all are. Don't call the show. Don, you know, we started this, me and you and Boss Eddie started this show 13 years ago. Okay,
yeah, you were the first five blacks
to call in now. Yeah. Time. And on that note, I'm gonna take this off. But don't call this show unless you're talking about some real change without no change in your hand or begging for money behind the scenes. Because guess what, buddy? We hip to all of you house Negroes. Okay, ain't no more monkey for the hunky. The free ride is over.
Thank you. Thank you for that call.
Hey, look, soldiers, hey, Don, that is the energy that I'm feeling within our community. And see, this is what it is. The man made a lot of valid points. There is I'm telling you, the exploitation of our people, and I was talking about this as well, because, you know, you get a lot of people now coming in and they're screaming Black Lives Matter, and they were screaming all that, whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
And what I was telling people were, there's actual pain. There's actual real oppression. There's really, it's not just these shootings. It's like being criminalized and not being able to get a job. And there's a lot of stuff behind it. And now, you know, we got people coming in. And, you know, in some of these groups over north that have been getting this money, their time is up.
Yep, you're absolutely right. And it's really funny, man, because, again, last night, I was up to about 2 or 3, I think it was about 3:45 in the morning, because I had to go back 7-8 years into the archives and listen to a couple pieces, more than a couple pieces out of some shows for Mr. Edwards. And Jonathan, the funny thing, well, it's not funny, it's kind of messed up. But what I'm seeing is that after a police shooting, after there's a big outcry for someone black murdering someone in North Minneapolis or St. Paul or the police, whatever is involved, there's a system that's set up. It's the murder, the reaction, the protest, and the money distribution. Murder, protest, action, money distribution. It's never the money distribution, you know, and then a protest for lack of money, because then there wouldn't be a murder. But it starts out murder, protest, money distribution. And those same group of in our community, I can't speak for the white community because, you know, they're playing in millions. I'm trying to get there, okay? I want to play in that pool. But the thing is, we're trying to get there. The thing is, when you look at this, you know, how do you solve these problems? Do you get people talking about social justice? Well, if there was economic justice, we would then control social justice, okay?
Right.
And if there's no economic justice, there can't be any social justice, period. You know, if I can't go to, or you, Jonathan, or your family, or my family, can't get up in the morning and say, hey, let's go to IHOP for breakfast. Do you know how many people in Minnesota that look like us get up in the morning, especially the youngsters, the teenagers, 12, 21? They get up in the morning, and some of them don't have a dollar to buy a pack of 9 liters. Okay? Can you imagine that feeling? That feeling, if feeling starts things in your mind that makes you think of ways to make money. It makes you think of ways to do things maybe that you shouldn't do. It makes you think of ways to not do your schoolwork, to not get a job. And so,
right. Exactly.
And so, like, in Minneapolis, Mayor Jacob Fry, in St. Paul, Melvin Carter, I'm pushing for them to bring the Neighborhood Youth Corps back into existence, to employ youth from 14 to 21 years old in St. Paul.
You know what?
Yeah.
I would start at 12 years old.
Yes, exactly.
I would start at 12.
That makes sense.
I would start at 12 years old.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense based on the amount of technology that these kids use these days, especially my 7 and 9-year-old. I mean, they can work a job. It'd be nice. But the thing is, why can't we bring the Neighborhood Youth Corps back into the city of Minneapolis, the city of St. Paul, employ kids? There's a bunch of kids, 12 to 21, that want to work, that are in school, that are doing the right thing. This becomes a state of attraction because there's kids out there, okay, look at Johnny. Johnny's taking his girlfriend on the bus to the movies, and then after that, they're going to go to Subway or McDonald's or Burger King and grab something to eat, and then they're going to go home because Johnny's working, you know?
Right, and even that is the sustainability for the youth, and what also it does is it relieves the pressure on parents. See, a lot of people don't understand that when they take these programs away, they're doing it intentionally because they want more stress on the parents. You got to figure out what the kids got to do. Plus, you got to give them some money as you're at work. And then what happens is, as a whole, generational wealth-wise, you are lowering yourself. Those who got billions and billions of dollars, it's easy to give their kids a credit card and say, all right, go have fun for the day. But for the parents at the bottom, if you could say, I got four kids that are 16, 15, 14, and 13, they can all work during the summer when school's out, and then after they work, they can get a free, and this is the stuff that I'm actually proposing. That's crazy that you said it, but I can give you a couple ideas. There's free basketball camps for them.
Yeah.
There's free pool, you get a season pass at a pool, and so you can go meet up with other kids. There's actually like a teen night again. You start bringing a teen night and where the kids can interact with each other and see, hang out. We don't have none of these type of programs for the youth, or where we have tutor parties where everybody gets together and you start doing homework and getting stuff together. We don't got any type of ideas because we have these people who are, like you said, and I'm not just saying this is an example, but, you have a shooting, you have a protest, and then you have the money distribution, and we need to be proactive, and that starts with the youth.
And here goes another thing, Jonathan, that I have to bring up because this is really pissing me off, because the black folks that say they're leaders, I'm not one of those people that run a nonprofit or that's a politician, so I'm sitting in the cut doing the news. But I'm reading the Star Tribune right here on my big screen, and I'm seeing that a major bonding bill was passed and special aid package for the Twin Cities businesses damaged by civil unrest following the Floyd murder, right? It's $300 million, okay? We sat by. It's $300 million bonding bill they passed. And the funny thing is, nobody in Minnesota's black community got up there and said, where is the community benefit agreement? Let's make sure you're spending $300 million in Minneapolis and St. Paul or areas that got damaged. Where is the system in place that is going to make sure community members that are unemployed and underemployed get a job, cleaning up, doing something? Now, here goes the argument. Here goes the argument that a lot of these folks want to have. They want to have this argument, well, the black people came through and, they burnt it down, so why do we want to hire them to work on fixing it up? Well, you don't know that for a fact. Second of all, the light rails in both cities went through without people in the neighborhood working on them. And I'm afraid this time, this is going to be another one of those times when there's going to be $300 million on the table and nobody produces anything or gets anything from that.
And, that's going to be strategically done. And that's why when we have these conversations, I hope others are listening and saying, okay, there's $300 million. How do I get a piece of that pie within my own community? And are we tapping into the individuals who are going to be able to help us get that? And that means if you want the $300 million, and this is, Don, these are the real conversations that we got to have with people.
Yeah.
I know some people want to clean up. Some people want to pick up cigarette butts and stuff like that. But now it's time to build, brother.
Yeah.
And now we have to start getting our general contracting license. We have to start getting the permitting. We got to get our vendor's license.
Yeah.
We got to get our EIN number. We got to get our LLCs. We got to get our websites up. And we got to say, now it's time for me to bid. And now I have equal ever equal.
No, never.
We jump in there and say, now we hold their butt to the fire. So I can say, such and such, brother such and such, put his name in for a bid, and now all the brothers didn't get no contract. Then they can come in and say, oh, no, we need $100 million for the black community.
Yeah.
That is massive.
Yeah.
So that's what we to do, but we got to strategically do it. And this arguing, in-house arguing, mm-hmm. has to stop.
Yeah. Yep. You're straight. You're actually on point. And it's like, I want to hear from the Minnesota Alliance of Black Contractors. I think that's what they're called. I want to hear from, you know, these folks,
the
that the NAACP, the Urban League.
I hate to say this language on the news, but they won't say S-H-I-T
no.
about the, and it's because, and this is about generational wealth. So I want to see who said something down and keep this file, because if they don't, I'm going to be highly upset with these groups that claim to be for the people and by the people.
And, you know, we've invited Ms. Redman and Khalif, I think her name is, to come on this show when Mr. Edwards and I was here for many times.
And they're watching now, Donnie,
yeah.
And I'm going to send another invite.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's Nakima or anybody. You guys get on this show. Let us hold your feet to the fire.
Explain yourself, please. Yes.
Explain it all, because hey, the questions that we're having about the NAACP's or the urban, the African, no, the Urban League or the African American Heritage, which has a terrific. I need everybody to talk. I even Drew Evans from the BCA, Bureau of Criminal Apprehension. Come on the show. Let us talk to you.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, with that, our numbers, our call-in number, in case you have a question or a comment, our call-in number is 347-426-3904. Again, that number is 347-426-3904, and the lines are wide open. Just call in, and if you have a question, we'll try to answer it. If you have a comment, we'll listen, and we'll make our comments. Again, we're running into some speed bumps here. And I see a lot of pandering going on. I think that the Minneapolis City Council and the mayor should resign. I don't think they're doing anything to benefit the community of Minneapolis. I'm really glad I don't live in Minneapolis right now, because this I'd be raising a little bit more hell. But I have issues over here in St. Paul that I'm trying to deal with. And so when you're bogged down in dealing with this,
it's hard to be all over at
yeah.
once, especially that you're being in St. Paul. You guys have a different, it's just a little different feel. But like you said, the lack of leadership, and I have to go on fact, and these are the facts. The facts were the same city council that claims to be woke gave Justine Dumont $20 million after that same group of people gave Jamar Clark's family $200,000, and these are the same ones that were arguing justice for Jamar, justice for Jamar, justice for Jamar, and didn't gave him almost 1 to 10% of what they gave Justine Amat. It's actually 1%.
Yep, you're absolutely right.
To Justine Amat, and it's absolutely
sickening. I agree with you 100%. Because I'm just typing something here. It's shameful that that even went down. And some of the stuff that happened behind the scene, like Mr. Edwards caught wind of people in Minneapolis talking to folks in Australia and telling them how bad the black community was here, giving them fuel for the fire so they could have leverage to even get $20 million. But yet no one would speak up, because the black people that are next to Mayor Fry, Mayor Carter, Governor Walz, they don't want to interrupt that social connection. And if you turn to someone and you ask them a serious question like, why Governor Walz, even before you were governor, there were these disparities in the black community. When you got sworn in as governor, you knew they were there. You didn't pay attention to any of it. You know, until the murder of George Floyd. Now you want, these politicians want to reach back and make Juneteenth a national holiday. They want to tear down statues of old white men. They want to change the names of army bases of generals that won. We never put a name of a general on an army base that lost. Okay.
Right.
So in some cases, their judgment is cloudy. In some cases, it's fine, in my opinion.
And they don't have to, many times, this is what it is. In the leadership roles, too, there's no strategic vision on where we're going forward. And that's where I have the skill set, other than, you know, the Minneapolis City Council doesn't have that skill set. No one on there has the skill set.
No, they don't.
probably doesn't have that skill set, because what happens is you would have done the right thing with the George Floyd incident, Tim Walz, or anything else. But see, what happened was it was perfect. It was a perfect setup because 2-3 weeks prior to George Floyd dying, we don't forget, they were calling him Dictator Walz because of the COVID situation. And now I'm telling you, Don, we haven't even got, I know we're coming up on, you know, we got a couple minutes, about 15 minutes left or whatever, but this COVID thing, we know it's coming back.
Oh, yeah.
They know it's good. They're going to say, due to the protesting for George Floyd and Rayshard Brooks and stuff, that COVID has now just ravaged the black community. Okay, whether it has or hasn't, that, you know, that's up for discussion. But what that means is now that's going to turn the pressure back up now to say what, because they just gave out the report on schools, and I know you maybe got it as well.
Mm-hmm.
With the three option plans on what the potential things it could be. It could be in school, social distancing as possible, or in school sessions like every other alternated thing, or learn from home, social distancing and learning. So when they come up with these plans or whatever the case may be, Minnesota's going to listen to these professionals. And so they're going to say, well, COVID-19 coronavirus is coming back, because they're already telling us the second wave is already starting up again. So if it starts to begin and they start going back to shutdown, the Republican Party is going to have a...
Yeah, they are. And again, the number is 347-426-3904. We have a call. Caller 8685. You're live on Our Black News. What's your name and comment or question?
The question that I have, gentlemen, is about why is there money missing from the Black Lives Matter, and that black gentleman in California, why is he sitting on all that money and he hasn't done anything with that money? And it seems like he's getting more money now than he's ever gotten, and nobody but certain small media outlets is holding his feet to the fire. And that is the topic of what's going on in the Wall Street Journal right now and some of the major publications. Where is that money?
Exactly. And caller, I'm glad you brought that up, because I was getting ready to segue with Jonathan, who knows some background.
I knew you were about to say that.
Yeah.
I knew
but,
we were just about to get to it.
Yeah.
Lead us to it.
Let me tell you something, caller, brother man, have I been called it for years, okay? If you Google Black Lives Matter, now, I agree with the statement. I agree with the statement, Black Lives Matter. But I want you to Google Black Lives Matter, comma, space, and the word donate. Okay? That's going to take you to a website. It's going to take you to a website where you see black people, Black Lives Matter. Then I challenge all our listeners to click on donate. Watch where that website takes you. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And then check the name of the website. I'm not telling you, because I want folks to do their research, okay? Go and check that website, that company. That company collects money for Democratic candidates, for the Democratic Party. You know, it has nothing really to do with Black Lives Matter. So they're getting, you're right, brother man, they're getting a lot of money, and where is this money? And the New York Times, let me see if I can find that. The New York Times and...
Wall Street Journal.
The Wall Street Journal is, let me just see if I can find this. It is, there's some concern, you know, and normally
that's money's not going back to the black community.
Exactly. And normally I would say, oh, that's just yellow journalism with the white newspaper because some black people got some money. That's what I would say normally. But in this case, it's very interesting, because where is the money? You know, where is the money?
Mr. Allen.
Yes, sir.
You remember some years ago, old boss Eddie, our dearly beloved mentor, told us, he said, if you really want to follow the money, you got to look into the I-94.
Yes, the I-90s. Yeah.
Remember?
I-90s, yeah.
Now, when we look in the I-90s or some of these nonprofits, you can just about see where the money starts, where it stops, and where it ain't going.
You're absolutely right.
Now, I put him to the I-90 into this brother man. They tell me he lives real lavishly out there in California in one of them Cruz, one of them communities with the last name in California by Cruz, and he's been living very well. He had took some of that money, and he used it to bring police community relations. I think they're supposed to have some meetings and some picnics. They said none of that stuff never came to fruition.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, see, the money has been frozen up because
they have been hitting this brother's pocket like the stock market. Everybody wants to throw money in now. You know, every corporation now is got it in this thing in the head. Now they want to help us black people now. Oh, let's give them 1,000. Let's give them 1,000,000. Let's give them 10,000. And if you know, like we know, if you keep that money rolling in, somebody with no accountability and only 2 overseers, that money is not going to go to the right place.
No.
That's what it is. They're overseers.
And then the next
time one of these. You're going to see brand new cars, vacation, and those people are going to be up on Facebook showing you all of the nice places and trips and vacations that they done been to and all the dignitaries they done rubbed elbows with that money.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, but let me tell you this real quickly here. What's going to happen is at some point in the next year or so, these corporations are going to be saying, well, you haven't really changed your structure. You're not showing diversity. You're not showing tolerance. You're not. And you know what their thing is? It's, well, we donated $1 million to Black Lives Matter. They're going to write that in all their promotional period pieces and all this other stuff. And then we're going to have to look at this guy or this gal who's ever running Black Lives Matter where the bank account. See, the thing with Black Lives Matter is that it matters where the money's going. That's what matters. Okay? Green money matters. Okay? So if that money is not being used in a way to benefit the movement, the people in the movement, the organizations around the movement that are grassroots, then we have the creation of another NAACP. You know, after 1975, I'll put it like that, post 1975.
And the same people that's run, and the same people that hijacked the Me Too movement, and they're running the Black Lives Matter movement. So now they're screaming misogyny, 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 misogyny all day to black men. And now what happens is now when we start trying to get other groups or foundations started, this is where all this conflict of interest within the inside of our own community comes about. And really, it's really to the point where Black Lives Matter, but is the white guy or people who are benefiting behind the Black Lives Matter name in the systematic design behind it who are getting all these donated money.
Yeah.
Liberal ideas who are getting money.
Yeah, go ahead, brother man. We got a couple minutes left before we got to move away, but go ahead.
I'm going to say this here, and I'm done with it. It's enough work to be done in this state for all black politicians and all liberals and all conservatives that really got a heart, whose drudgery is in the right place. You need to start working on getting rid of the 181 law that handicaps minorities. Get rid of that at will law. Get rid of all of that garbage that you got that you block out minorities from the workforce. We got all these politicians and we got everybody in positions to get rid of things, but there are certain things that are still in place. There's a whole lot of things that are still in place. They're still in place.
You're absolutely right. Go ahead. Oh, are you done? Okay,
you really need to work and pass the legislation, because if you pull the layers back of the legislation, the DFL was built on slaveholders' money, okay? So why are we body talking about reparations and all of that? Keep digging a little further and find out the origins, the history of the DFL party. That should be y'all's Juneteenth study group homework, because when Brother was trying to wake y'all up in Black History Month about that, certain ones got the message. Brother Al McFarlane, kudos to Al. He brought the gentleman on the show that wrote the book. But guess what? Ain't nobody holding the DFL's feet to the fire. You all owe us a whole lot of money. that party was built on our money. That
You're
party was built on our money, and out of that party became insurance companies, landowners, insurance brokers. That's why certain people, a certain group of people, is in power right now in this state because of that money right there.
Okay. That's incredible. Well, hey, thank you for the update. We'll be on next week. Please call back. I appreciate it, brother man. And your insight again, was on point. Thank you. You know, it's
I'm going to take real quick.
Go ahead.
He hit on a lot of points. You know, we have a lot of people that call in, and we have people like, you know, Mr. Tucker, who is amazing, who calls in and he tells us his point perspective. And we have to respect everybody's point perspective because we're in this all together. And the dude right there, he just said a lot of different things, and we got to do our homework at the DFL party.
Mm-hmm.
What is going on?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I mean, the DFL party is not the only party to play with, you know. There's enough, you know, and I looked at this based on the numbers that I looked at, and they were from the Secretary of State, of people that are registered to vote and people that actually voted in the past few elections, and then the demographics of the people in those Senate districts and those communities, you know, there are enough Black, Hispanic, and Asian American folks and Somali folks. If we were to get together and say, we want St. Paul to look like this, we want Minneapolis to look like this, there would be nothing that the mainstream could do to stop it, short of assassinating folks.
As far as if we band together as finding
you. Yeah. We can put anybody anywhere in any office from the governor all the way down, okay?
The moment we do stuff like that, though, I'm going to be honest. We could. You're right. That's a very good point. They would be so upset. Oh, the system would be so upset with us, and we could run the gamut. And then they would say it's cheating, and they would say it's rigged. But really, that's what they're doing.
Yeah, exactly. And I have no tolerance for that. I know this week I'm going to follow up with some calls to some senators because I sent the thing in for veterans preference. I rewrote it. The bill, because it didn't it included teachers and it shouldn't have. I mean, teachers should be that are veterans are do should have veteran preference, but it denied teachers in the last sentence paragraph veterans preference. So I sent that to Senator Mark Coran. Hopefully he worked on that. And you know, that's my gauge. When I send things to these state legislatures, senators and state representatives, if they work on it, then they're listening. Okay. If they don't work on it, then we have an issue. Because my expectations were that they would work on it.
The point is, you know, and we can't blame the senators and stuff like that because a lot of these jobs are, you know, a lot of these rules and laws were on the books prior due to oppression and stuff like that. But now, since we are aware and we're making these adjustments, like you said, if they're listening to us, great ups to them. Thank you. That's what we're wanting to do. This is for the people, by the people. But if you're not working for us, it's time for you to get up out of here.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man, there's so much stuff going on. It's 10:28. We got a couple of minutes. I know Jonathan has Mason in the mornings or mornings with Masons. Whatever way you say it, there's two words with M in there. And you can tune in on his Facebook Live Monday through Sunday because he does it every damn day. That's like, I was like, wow. Yeah, I remember those days. I'm not doing it now. But I'm glad you're out there because your pulse is on what's happening in the community right away. There's a lot of foul stuff going on, and there's a lot of people trying to cause some upheaval in the Black community. So we need to stop this. Do you have anything before we sign off here with James Brown?
Yeah. Oh, you know, it was a great show. We have so much to talk about. Like you said, we do have Mornings with Mason, hashtag Our Black News, hashtag Mornings with Mason. And also, like you said,
okay. I'm gonna get out of the radio show. You don't have to hang up yet, but we're gonna get out of the radio show here. That's Radio Broadcast.